Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and very, very interesting guest. Again, we had Gina Alexander on last week, and she was phenomenal. Second time I've had her on the show, and I'm so excited about this Hollywood event. And one of the people that's going to be participating in it is Jeremiah Tasco from HGTV. He's a big-time star out there. So, Jeremiah, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, Neil, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's go quick background on you, and then we're going to go right into the event and how you're excited about this event with Gina's, the whole e-commerce event as well. So tell us a little bit about your background, then we'll go right to it.
Sure. Well, you know, my background, I've been an artist since day one. I've been in the creative field since about 16, 17 years old. I got a really early jump on things. Been a professional designer for the past 15 years, and this last year, a lot of my design talents and work has been recognized by HGTV Network, and they brought me in to do a TV show, some people might know, called HGTV Star, and so I competed on the show, and now I'm doing interiors and speaking across the country, and just everything's blowing up right now.
Well, I'm happy for you, and it's great to hear the success, and thank you for being on the show for sure. But I was very blown away about what Gina's offering at this event. I mean, it's just amazing. I mentioned something to Gina that was very, and I'm sure you'll speak of this as well. Many people in Hollywood do not, and we're talking just straight brands that are celebrities, do not know how to manage their social media correctly, do not know how to drive traffic to their website or specific products or brands. They just are missing that key component. They think they're just on social media, they're set. They think that they understand everything, and yet at this event, they're going to learn so much more.
Absolutely. You know, from my standpoint, you know, I'm just gotten big on my social media game this last year because I've had tons of media exposure, of course, with the show, and so I've had to really, really get in it. But prior to this show, you know, I've had 7 to 8 years of internet marketing. It's a company I work for, a multi-million-dollar company, international speaker Danny Johnson and her husband Hans, as part of their creative development team for a number of years. But one of the biggest things that we did was we harnessed all that traffic and, you know, all that awareness that, you know, celebrities often always have, and we're able to funnel people into lists and, you know, be able to sort things out from a marketing perspective. So I'm really excited about this event and really helping, you know, the celebs and soon-to-be celebs understand how they can leverage all this traffic.
Oh, it's the truth. I mean, once you capture these people, what to do? And this is a great point, and this is a great question to ask you, Jeremiah. Is basically one of my clients. We're looking at the driving the traffic. We're getting everything together. We're working with PR Web and all these different situations. But once we get the leads, what do we do next? And that's the thing that so many people, yeah, I got about all these people visiting my website, yet there's no conversion. And that's so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, people visiting websites is great. Getting hits on a website is great. It's actually, kind of like, the web is just like a storefront in some ways that you got to be out front. You got to advertise. You got to get, you know, traffic. And if you're in a great spot where a lot of people are coming through or you're very well known or you've got a lot of media stuff going on and people are coming to your site, that's the first biggest thing that you have to do. Being a celebrity, a lot of times you don't even have to do anything to generate that traffic. Your celebrity ship, if you will, just kind of naturally attracts people to you. But the problem is nobody has any offers on their site other than buy my CD or here's what I'm doing. It's almost just kind of too social, a little bit, in my opinion, just kind of, you know, standoffish. When they should be offering something, some sort of free video, some sort of free content, some sort of, you know, exclusive, you know, membership only type of deal. And what they should be doing from that is building then a actual marketing list. Just having people come to your website, you know, is great. But if they don't convert and they don't convert to at least a subscriber of some sort that you can reach later and be able to send them more information, whether it's just really great content or product offers, you don't have a list, you're missing a big chunk of what you could be doing.
Absolutely. You're missing a big chunk of what you want in your overall brand. If you just want to be a star and never make money, then really you're going to be still waiting tables. And we're seeing a lot of people in Hollywood, you know, waiting tables during certain things. You know, they have I have this huge fan following, and I've worked with a lot of the Real Housewives, but yet they weren't able to specifically understand how to brand themselves. Once they branded themselves, they didn't know how to make money on it. A good friend of mine, Mary Ammons, is like that. Mary's in this process. She's a great brand from Real Housewives DC, but she didn't have a product right at the beginning. Now she's doing some interior design, and she can use her celebrity status to help grow that. But this boot camp's going to really whip people into shape to say, hey, man, you know, you got to really look at your overall brand and how you convert. So some strategies that you're going to be helping in this process. So your talk is going to be more based on what part of the whole process?
Well, I think it's going to be two parts. It's first about brand experience and what that actually entails. So like the ditty on that is everybody talks about branding. And yes, it's your look. Yes, it's how you come across. Yes, it's the personality. But how are people, or what is people's experience with your brand? It's kind of like me meeting a celeb, and the celeb is, standoffish, and maybe they're just not quite, you know, into me talking to them right now or whatever. A lot of times if their web and their social media is the same way, it just doesn't seem like I can interact with them.
Exactly. And you think interaction's key, and I think a lot of celebs don't understand that. They think that they don't need to engage their fans. So give me an example, Jeremiah. I'll end up tweeting you out, thanks for coming on the show and all this stuff. And if you don't react back, then you're missing the point of getting a retweet to all my followers and also engaging your followers as well. And a lot of them are very standoffish, and they're not consistent on their social media, right?
Sure, and that's absolutely it. And it's not an easy thing. I mean, social media, managing that, I experienced this firsthand over the summer. It's almost a full-time gig.
It truly is.
You are doing a whole lot of interacting, but it is so critical. Whenever you have a business or you're promoting a brand, you have to be talking to customers or prospective customers. You have to, find out what interests them. And if you're a celeb, it's nice to know what they like about you as a celebrity, because there might be some things that you can, kind of leverage through that. But the biggest thing is the brand experience. Is what do I experience? What do I sense? What's the feeling I get? Does it touch my heart? Or is it just all head information? It's like marketing 101 as far as targeting is concerned. But what am I experiencing when I go to their site? Am I fully immersed and I feel like, I'm having a great experience? Most of the time, it's just another show. Yes. It's like the show that the celebrity's putting on. It's great. I'm being entertained. But if some of these celebs would leverage social media and create a better experience, then what we have is, aside from me just like admiring this person, now it's like I'm really, really interested in them, and I genuinely feel they're kind of interested in me because they're actually talking to me or somehow some way directing some communique through their website to me.
Because if you aren't approachable and you're not approachable to your fans, you're not going to get them to the next step, which is to your website. And then once you get them on your website, it's the conversion. So what you're going to teach celebrities and businesses that are trying to get out there, that they have to be able to be approachable to their customers, engage their customers. But then that's just the first step. If people do that and don't do anything else, Jeremiah, they're pretty much sunk already, right? Because once you got to have a great website, and you have to have the ability to drive the traffic to do something when they're on there, because our attention span is very short. And if you missed that point, you missed the ball completely.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And, it's kind of like this. When you have a fan following, I mean, some celebrities, they will just have a fan following because they do. And as a celebrity, then you got people that love you, people that don't like you, and you got people who are kind of like, eh, they don't really care. But if you engage the ones who are kind of on the fence and you actually talk to them and you maybe offer them something, it could even be just some exclusive behind-the-scenes videos for members only, and you just put in your email and your name, and you opt into a list, and then you get this exclusive content where the celeb actually addresses you and says, thanks so much for joining me, and blah, blah, you know, and it actually is like, wow, they want to interact with the fan because that's what will keep them fans. You know what I mean?
How many people you've worked with that are celebrities that just say, I can't do this? You know, and let me give you an example. You see a lot of people on Twitter that, you know, they have 125,000 fans on Twitter. Yet, I mean, people following them on Twitter, yet they're only following a few people, and yet they're not engaging any of their fans at all, and they're literally just posting but not interacting. How is that hurting their brand?
I wouldn't say it's hurting, but it's not accelerating the brand. And it's, as far as brand, we're talking about brand reach.
Yes.
Right? So the consumer or the fan or, you know, whoever can see and kind of hear and kind of follow, and that's kind of cool. But as far as the level of interaction, and this is I keep going back to experience here, the brand experience, I'm not really getting the full package. Now, granted, this is tough, and this is where the kind of balancing act comes in. And I can understand some, too, because when you have a lot of work to do and you're a talent, you want to focus on your talent, and you got to spend time and invest in that. And, you know, actors, they need their time to go away and, you know, kind of regather themselves and ramp up for the next, you know, next bit. I'm also a musician, so I can understand the musician side of things, being an artist, and how you have to get into a certain creative space, and that doesn't involve all this social activity and bringing everybody in and what you're doing. But if you can have a team around you, at least, that can begin to engage with you and give the fans that kind of experience that a fan otherwise wouldn't have. It's kind of like best friend with the artist for the day.
Absolutely.
If I can be on your shoulder and just kind of tag along, what does that look like? I remember John Mayer did a video. It was like a day in the life of John Mayer, this black and white film. It was really slick. I think he filmed it all himself, too. But it gives you a picture of what a day looks like on the day of, you know, say, like a concert. And that was just really fantastic. And if more celebs would engage, you know, their fans that way, and even more specifically talk to their fans and bring in a little bit of this network marketing and internet marketing aspect, oh, my gosh. So many of them could, you know, offer their own little acting class. They don't even have to teach it. They could have, like, a preferred person, you know, that's a professional acting coach, and say, look, this is my acting coach. I'm going to interview them, and then they're going to take you through a series of acting lessons. I mean, the sky's the limit as far as the creative, you know, and coming up with these great little pieces of content that we could extend out to, you know, fans and consumers. But we have to at least consider that instead of always keeping our heads down and not wanting people to bother us.
Exactly. So October 26th, again, is the big event, and it's called titled E-Commerce Social Media Automation Hollywood Style. And you really are kind of targeting different people, for sure, Jeribai, in this event. So basically, first of all, you're going to teach them how to engage people using social media. Then, after getting them to the website, how to convert them as a customer or possibly as a subscription. So you're creating a lifelong lifelong friend and a lifelong customer, right? That's the goal.
Yep, right.
That they want to come back tell their friends all about it.
Yeah, that's it. And it's really about brand experience. A lot of people have, there's basic four parts I like to highlight about brand experience. It's impression, interaction, responsiveness, and a resilience. And so this is something I will touch on because brand experience, I think people say branding, oh my branding, oh my branding, and we don't have really a clear definition of what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody thinks branding is just slapping your logo on stuff and making everything the same color.
Exactly.
That's not branding at all. That's creating a cohesive look to establish an identity for your brand. That's just the visual aspect. Now there's all the communication. There's all the writing that goes on. There's all the video and audio that goes on.
You got to have content, for sure.
Yeah, it's all the content. Everything needs to match up. You can't look fantastic and then have zero content. And you can't be super content heavy and look terrible. You got to have that perfect balance of the two. And so I'm really more so the design guy, so I help you not only get looking good, but also I want to know what are your key messaging, what's your key messaging, who your key audience, what are we going to say to them, and then I take all that into consideration when I design so that we can design appropriately for the audience. So that's really, really important. I think a lot of people get the impression part of brand experience, but then there's this interaction part, and then there's the responsiveness part. And how does a brand respond to what is called the needs of the fans? Because fans do, by the way, they do have needs. They want to know more about their artist. They want to know more about their celeb. But if the celeb's out of touch, out of reach, it's kind of like, oh, well, I was following that person, but, you know. That was about it.
Jeremy, the overall package. It's the overall package. Basically, you talked about there has to be the interaction. There has to be that great relationship. There has to be the conversion at the end. But if you don't have the overall package, the content, the way you package it, and that's where your expertise comes. You could have this great content, yet your logo's not the greatest. Or you could have this great content, but on the website, it's very hard to maneuver, and people just give up and 5 seconds. So there's so much to this that at this boot camp that you're going to be able to show. And I think it's also a so real thing, Jeremy, that you're going to go from before not a celebrity till HGTV, you became a celebrity. And now you have to work with other celebrities where you're used to teaching these people how to do this. And you were just, again, in the background. Now you could flat out say, I did this for myself. And I'm sure you're going to show your model of how you've branded yourself at this event as well, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've had a logo, just in terms of the identity part of it, I've had a logo for a long, long time. And on HGTV, I had the opportunity to basically, the very first challenge of the TV show was a branding challenge, which was so funny. And I was like, yes, this is great. What a great way to start this design competition. And I was able to use this logo that I've had for a long time, and I was able to use it within like a wallpaper design. I put it right into the whole design. We did this little vignette snapshot. And it was really cool because that began to solidify the style. But the other thing is personality. And the biggest thing I do for companies now is a lot of companies, it's a company, it's a soulless entity. There's nothing, you know, essentially special about it except its services. So then we have to kind of draw out that secret sauce and inject personality and really get down to what the soul of the company is. Now, with a celebrity and an artist, that's way easier because it's a real person, you know, and they have a real soul. And, you know, I do understand that, you know, the paradigm here, though, is that sometimes a celeb is a certain way as their character, as their artist, you know, name. And then behind the scenes, they're the same person, essentially, but they're not quite, you know, they don't quite do the same thing. I mean, sometimes there's a little bit of a, and I can understand that. I like to stay home, personally. A lot of times I don't like to be out. But when I'm out, I'm out. And now I'm talking to everybody. And now I'm, you know, engaging and how are you doing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But when I'm not out, I'm not like that, you know. So there's this compartmentalized life, I believe. So, but the branding and what I'm looking to bring out and really kind of drive home at this event that's coming up is, let's find the soul of what you're trying to do, and let's try to connect soul to soul. You know, you as the celeb and what you're about, not just the circus stuff, but who you really are. Because that's where you start building real fan loyalty. You know, you can have a bunch of great hits and be a great actor, and we can really appreciate you for your talent. But when you come out and you have character and you're a little bit deeper and people really get down and say, oh, man, they like this kind of stuff and they like that kind of stuff. Now we're getting somewhere, and that's really, really cool.
One thing, Jeremiah, when I first tried to start branding myself in a lot of ways is that I had to create content and things that made me interesting. I'm just a tutor, a Catholic school teacher that owned a part-time tutoring company, and then I started a radio show. And then the branding started first to be the kind of controversial talk about education advocate for people. Then I started interviewing celebrities, and through my Facebook, branded myself personal Facebook, all these cool celebrities I interviewed and all these interesting topics, and then became consistent, engaging. One thing I'm missing, Jeremiah, is the website. And it's because I also have a client that my ultimate goal is to brand him before me, because again, you got to pay the bills. But you learn in this process that constantly watching others and how they're successful, if it's not speaking to you and you don't feel it's your overall brand, it's not the right way to go, and it's not the right thing to do, for sure. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're going to see people at this boot camp that have a certain image, and yet it's not being shown in their brand.
Yeah, that's actually a good... I run into that often, and that's part of what that would be part of my product offering out there, is really a rebrand, a refresh of what a company may have or per artist may have. Because when I interview somebody, I'm able to, you know, I go all Barbara Walters and I'm talking to them and getting down deep into who this person is and what they really like, and, you know, how they not just want to be perceived, but how they feel that their perception can help people. Because, you know, I can perceive a celebrity and be like, oh, they're this and this. But then when I get to know them, I think a lot more of them, and I have a higher amount of respect for them, and thus my loyalty builds. And now we have brand resilience, where people are going to be with us long term. Because I think a lot of times we think short term. And so we got to think a little bit long term, and is this going to have some longevity to it? And as far as have, you know, like getting your website done, that's the first step. That is the first face that people are going to be able to see and really experience everybody's brand. I mean, it's so key.
So, and that's an interesting point, and that's the one that I have to look at in specific ways. A lot of things I can kind of put that overall brand, but they go to the website. It's not a bad website, but I always wish I could redesign it, get a redesigned logo, all those different things. So definitely, Jeremiah, if I was in the Hollywood area, not in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I would definitely be at this event because of the different things that you're going to be able to bring to the table, but also Nakamoto is going to be bringing, where he's going to teach you how to make money, which is key. You're going to give us that package. Lee's going to tell him, hey, this is really how we convert things. And then you got, and then you get other people that are showing some of their experience. And then to have all these participants that are unbelievable at the event. If you're a celebrity or you're a business that's looking to really rebrand yourself and make money and convert, this is the place to be. So where can we find information on you, Jeremiah, and also the event?
Info on me, you can go to my website, jeremiah.com, J-E-R-I-B-A-I. I know, unique name, tough to spell. It gets butchered all the time. Type something sort of close to that into Google, and I hopefully will come up. Yeah, and then I'll be at the event. I'm really honored Gina asked me to be there and really kind of blown away, share the stage with some of these other guys and gals. I'll be taking notes like everybody else with some good stuff to learn, and just really excited for the outcome, too. You know, just looking forward to the result after this event.
And it's great you'll be there, and you'll be able to bring your expertise as well and meet a lot of interesting people as well at the event. So,
yeah,
Jeremiah, thanks
absolutely.
Again for calling the program. And we'll have to have you back on to talk about your experience at HGTV. I'll have to reach out to Monica and make sure we can get that, make that happen, because I would love to hear your story as well. So thanks for calling.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks a lot, Mia. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Jeremiah. See ya.
All right, I'll see you later.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I always get excited to have celebrities on the program. But when we're talking about matchmakers and all these different things, being a happily married man for so many years, I'm not going to have to hopefully ever utilize her services, but I know that maybe down the line I'll learn a lot, and my listeners, especially all over the world, will get interested in this guest. So I want to welcome to the program Siggy Flicker. You're on Love Picker VH1 and now an author. Siggy, thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so specifically tell us how you got involved, I guess, in this game. Because basically the situation is that we all, especially if we get on reality shows and we get host different things and things happen to us, it's circumstance. It really, a lot of times what we go out and try to do ends up not what we end up doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was a little bit different. Ever since I was 14 years old, everyone has always been coming to me for advice. Always. And I guess it's the way my parents raised me. I have certain rules that I stick to, and I truly believe that there is a lid to every pot. Everybody deserves to be happy, and everybody deserves to be in love. But the problem today is that most people, over half of our population, is single, and no one has anybody to turn to. I believe that everybody needs a Siggy. Everybody needs somebody who's been there, done it, and gives great advice. So for me personally, everybody was always coming to me, well, why does he like me? And I'm like, well, he's just not into you. Because when a man loves a woman, he will chase after that woman. He will go up against everybody in his family to be with that woman. So stop chasing something that doesn't even belong to you. Or I always say there's a list. But or a man's rejection is God's protection. If somebody's rejecting you, that doesn't mean you go back into your corner and you play dead. It means that you have to push, 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 push. So I ended up getting a job as a life coach, a relationship expert, and a matchmaker in Manhattan. And after people saw the way my theory and my method of all these men and women joining the service, and I would really, really try to figure out why they were single, because anybody could really match anybody. I could always say, Bob, go out on a date with Harriet. Okay. But for me, it was imperative to find out why you're still single. So what I used to do at the matchmaking service is their first date was always with a fake date, a recruiter, somebody who would give me really honest feedback on what Bob was doing on his date. Because to me, he comes into my office, I went to Harvard, I'm in a suit, I'm well-mannered, I have a lot of money. I'm like, okay, so why are you single? Well, I don't know. I don't know why I'm single. So when I sent him out on his first date with the recruiter and I found out that he spit curry chicken in the recruiter's hair all night long, and all he did was talk about his cats all night long, I was able to say, this is why you're single. This is why you're single. All night long, you're talking about Kiki and Winky and Binky and Finky, and meanwhile, the girl thinks that you're going home to make love to your cat. That's not the way you approach being single. So with VH1, they approached me because all the clients were, like, freaking out. Word got around town. It set like fire, and I was approached by several networks, and VH1 wanted to do the show, Why Am I Still Single? So basically, during the show, I would watch two people on a date behind hidden cameras, and then stop the date and say, okay, now I know why you're still single. You're talking about sex or so on and so on. And then I would put them back on the right road after I would give them my lessons.
Interesting. And Siggy, what I notice from what you talk about, a lot of times relationships, so many marriages fail, so many relationships fail in so many ways that you need someone like, it's true. It's because basically a lot of them can't take the hard times. They run out ever after you find out there's certain defects of your wife, right, or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend. And you're like, I can't live with them, and not knowing that there's not a perfect person out there. So, right. And in a lot of ways, you look at specifically, do you believe in opposites attract, or are you the belief system that they have to be the same in so many ways?
Well, okay, so that's a great question. First of all, I was married for 10 years. Now, I'm the girl that everybody went to. I was married to Mark Ira Flicker. What a man. Every girl, every mother would want a husband like this for their daughter. We were married for 10 years. We had two beautiful kids. Somewhere down the marriage, we started to disconnect. Mark was no longer, we were doing things separately. Anyway, you'll never hear a story like this, but we got divorced without an attorney. We stayed close friends. I matched my ex-husband with a beautiful woman. He is in a relationship with her. And when I got married to my current husband, Michael, ex-husband Mark was the best man at the wedding. Can you follow all that?
Yes, I follow it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So well, the point is there is no guarantee the relationship is going to work. There's never a guarantee that a relationship is going to work. All we have is to just put it out there every time and hope for the best, not to stick in the corner. But when it doesn't work out, and when you've done everything and you've tried to find a relationship, because it takes two to tango, when two people are in a relationship, both people have to step up to the plate. If one starts to say, you know what, I'm really not into the relationship, and the other person's doing all the work, that's where all the problems come through. There is no reason to be in a miserable relationship, but what you owe yourself is, if that relationship ends, you got to continue, not fall down flat on your face. You've got to pick yourself up and go for it once again. I believe that experience and rejection is a key part in creating character in life lessons. Oprah didn't make it to where she was today without being rejected.
Yes.
Neither did Michael Jordan. So every person that you admire or somebody who's listening admires has been rejected plenty of times.
Absolutely.
Especially in relationships. But I do agree with you that most people enter relationships and they don't know what they're doing in the relationship. And they don't know how to work on it. And they give up too quickly. So it depends. You have to go in there knowing, hey, it's just like a car. You don't put gas in the car, the car's not going to move from point A to point B. Same thing with a relationship. You got to water it. You got to really, really put gas in there. And both of you have to work at it together.
Well, absolutely, Siggy. And I think that when I hear you talk about this, I want to go into the VH1 experience of being on television and understanding that fact before we go into the book. And then I'm sure the book's going to give us the great tips. But I think that the why VH1 wanted this is because so many people are just so lost, as you just talked about.
Exactly.
They're so 100%. Lost that either they're looking for sex or they're looking for no strings attached, as men do a lot of times. And now women are doing the same thing. I don't have time for you. But yet, I want you to be there for me every second, every single moment, second thing. And a lot of times, we grow differently. And this is where, I mean, a lot of times I think that when we talk about the marriage, and I guess we'll get into this in the book, I could speak to you in so many ways. And so it's such a sacrifice for each person that's in the relationship. You have to sacrifice a ton. If you're not willing to sacrifice all that, the relationship will never work out, because
correct,
ultimately it's you are giving not just yourself in matrimony, you're not just giving yourself in the bedroom, you're giving yourself all your wants, your needs, your desires, and everything, because a lot of times kids are in the mix as well. So when you
correct
were on this TV show, because you seem like such a great relationship advice person, was it weird getting involved with the production company, and you know how they were just wanting things to be a train wreck in so many ways?
Correct, because when you get onto a reality show, I knew it going in, and this is why, like, if you ever watched the show, this was probably the only show on VH1 that had heart and soul. And when I was asked to come back, luckily I met Harvey Weinstein, and right now we're working on a new show. It's going to be announced in the next couple of weeks, and the show is going to be called Marry My Ex. And basically, what I want to do is I want to be the super nanny for people who need relationship help. So doing the show for VH1, of course, when thousands and thousands of people audition for the show, they're only going to take the real crazies, because that's what sells.
Yes.
That's the truth. No sugarcoating it. Drama and craziness sells. To me, it didn't matter, because I was still able to say, hey, this is what's wrong with you. And you know, you talk about sex. You just told this guy that the doctor just upped your Prozac on the first date. That is not necessary for him to know. You know, the crazier it is, the more that I can be Siggy and be, you know, I'm crazy in my own right. But for me, it wasn't about the drama or the pulling hair. I'm not into that. I'm a mother of four children. I've got a great husband, a great life. I really wanted to create something really, really special. And that's where the Weinstein Group came in, and now we have a couple of projects in the work and a book in the work. But I'm grateful to VH1. They gave me a platform, and I will probably work with them in the future. But Yes, you are absolutely correct. What reality shows want is a lot of kooks.
I have
drama and drama.
Absolutely. I mean, I interviewed two of the Real Housewives from New York. I've had Miami's on, and also D.C., a good friend of mine, Mary Ammons. And what I've learned in specific ways is that they just set this up to be a train wreck. And I think that you, especially now, I'm glad that I was thinking, what kind of relationship person is going to think I'm crazy when I talk about sacrifice? Can you hear some of these relationship experts? Oh, no, it has to be perfect. And they're like, are you really married? No, you're not married.
Exactly.
You're with your five cats and your nails are...
I'm in love with you already. Half of the people who consider themselves relationship experts are single. How can you preach about love if you can't even seal the deal for yourself? And then people will say, well, Siggy, you got divorced. Damn straight, and I would do it all over again to have my Sophie and my Joshua. And I'm still best friends with my ex-husband, but guess what? There are no guarantees.
No guarantees.
But when I give advice, I'm living it. I am living it. I finally found my soulmate, the lid to my pot.
That's fantastic.
I followed my own advice. I totally agree with you that some people out there are giving advice when they have no right to be standing in that platform. Absolutely not.
They don't have any. They have no right to do it at all. You're so right about that. And I think that's the thing. And from VH1, the producer set up to get the craziest people for you to kind of try to help. And you're like, these people can't. And they can't listen at all. They probably would never walk into your practice because you're like, I can't help you.
Exactly. But I had to understand that that's what reality TV is. And that's like, that's really like the sad thing about reality TV, because who's watching reality TV? People are watching reality TV want to feel good about their lives.
Because they can't, they hate their lives, Cindy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? But after they watch the train wrecks on TV, they probably say, you know what? My life isn't that bad. I mean, seriously. My life isn't that bad. I don't talk about nine cats, and I don't go and tell everybody about myself. I mean, they probably walk away and say, you know what, I don't have the greatest life, but it's not that life. So I think that there's something to be said for that. And you go along. But look, yesterday I was on the Today Show, and the first thing I told Hoda and Kathy Lee is, being single is not going to kill you, and being in a relationship is not going to heal you. It starts with you. You have to accept the fact that you're single and have a right attitude about being single and push forward, because everybody's worthy of love. It's not you have to lose weight, you have to have straight hair, you can't have a big tushy. No. When you love yourself, then you're opening up yourself to letting the world love you back.
Absolutely. If you have too much of baggage, you're not the right person to be in a relationship. And Siggy, I guess we're going back and forth. I want to go into the book, absolutely. But I'm so interested in the VH1 experience, and we'll definitely have to have you back. I always say this to all my guests, because I just love the celebrity show and that fact that I connect with you guys, because I really just down to earth, like having a cup of coffee or a beer with you. So we get back more with Siggy Flicker, and we're going to learn really specifically about the book now. VH1, I don't want to talk about that as much, and I hope on Twitter we keep connected on Twitter. Again, I'm Total Tutor on Twitter, and we could find out once your new show airs. It was very interesting. I've had a lot of people that have gone from horrible reality experiences to finally getting the project they want, and I hope it works out. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and I'm with Siggy Flicker, and I'm so excited to have her on the show, especially when I don't want to tell her what I was doing when she called me, because she was late on the call, but it was worth the wait. It's worth the wait, because you're an easy interview, simple, and let's go into specifically the book and what components of the book. I know why you write a book, because everyone knows why we have to brand ourselves more. And after the experience where you have your fans because of the show and because of your practice, the book's the next thing, right?
Well, the book's the next thing, absolutely. But there's a reason why I wrote the book. Because I want to break the persona of somebody having a perfect life. So the reason I wrote the book is because, guess what? I happen to be an extremely interesting person. interesting person. I believe in love. I grew up, you know, when people see you on a reality TV, they see you with the hair and the makeup and the eyelashes and the Birkin bags and the beautiful clothes. And you know what? You go into a category. I wrote the book letting everybody know, listen, ever since I was young, and when I waited tables at TGI Fridays, and when I sold the most mushroom chicken mushroom, and I met the president of TGI Fridays, I've always lived with passion and belief and with certain rules. For example, a man has to love a woman a little bit more. That's the way a relationship works. When a woman tries to change her appearance or to make a man notice her or love her so much, but she's trying too hard, that relationship usually doesn't work. And we get into celebrities like Kim and Kanye. And when I was on Wendy Williams, I said that relationship is absolutely going to work. Why? Because Kanye's been obsessed with Kim for years, and he loves her just a little bit more than she loves him. 2 years later, they're still going strong with Khloe and Lamar. Bless her heart. I love that woman. I love Khloe. I feel so bad for her. But yes. The problem with that relationship is she's always loved him just a little bit more. When he wanted to go to Dallas, she followed him. When he wanted to spice up their sex life, it was Khloe that was buying the swing and installing the swing in the bedroom. She doesn't need somebody like that.
No.
She's chasing him around. So for me, there are certain rules, like when you're single, why do you go out with other single girls? Because if you're looking for a job, would you take everybody else who's also jobless, all your friends, and go on an interview with them? When you are single, you have got to engage in things that you are passionate about and do it at least once a week. Join a class. Take a dance class. Go volunteer at the local animal shelter. Take a cooking class. And even if you're not a lesbian or you are a lesbian, God bless you, but you'll meet other women. And those other women, once a week when you go to class, guess what they have? They might have a single brother, a single boss, a single best friend. The point being is you've got to network outside of your work and social circle. And you know what? As a society today, we're lazy. I hope all the listeners are hearing me. I hope they start attacking me. We're lazy. We're behind our iPhones and our Blackberries, and we're looking down, and nobody wants to go out anymore, and we rely on online dating, which is a wonderful tool, but it can't be the only tool. You can't just work out if you have to lose weight and come home to a Whopper French fries and a Diet Coke and say, but I don't understand. I just worked out for 45 minutes, and I still haven't taken off the weight, the pounds. You got to work out, and you got to eat right. You could try online dating, but you got to get away from your computer and get out there and live life. Interaction, because you will never know who you connect with. My husband today has no hair on top of his head. And when I first got divorced, there was no way that was on my dream list. I didn't say I want to meet a man who has no hair on top of his head. The first day, the first time I saw Michael Campanella, my heart went into my stomach. I knew that I was going to be crazy about this man. And the more I got to know him, the more I was passionately, madly in love with him. I did not have his physical traits on a piece of paper. So my advice is get away from your lists and get away from the computer and go out there and actually be grateful that you're healthy, you're alive, you live in the United States of America. Go do something about your life.
So a lot of times it's about getting yourself better to get yourself that you're a package in certain ways, that you're not just this boring, you know, cute girl, yet I have nothing going on except go out drinking with my friends. Or I'm busy just work, this, that, and the other, but I really don't have any interests. Because a lot of guys are going to choose a girl that's interesting. There's a lot of pretty girls, but yet which ones are going to be ones that I want to be talking to in the middle of night too, not just, okay, this is such a problem. And I think that one thing I think that in your book you also touch upon is specifically it's work. It's not an easy thing, a relationship, and it's tough, and it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, and there's a give and take. But I like the fact that you said that the man has to be doing a little bit more for the wife, because
No. A man has to love in the
love.
I'm talking about in the first 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months, okay.
Once you seal the deal and you and that person are in a committed relationship, honey, you better not be expecting that he's just going to bring home the bacon and fry it up and do everything and make the reservations. A woman has got to step up to the plate and treat her man like a man. If he's out there all day working or vice versa, two people have to step up. It's a 50-50 relationship. Sometimes at the end of the day, I will the house, and I've got my daughter just came home from dance and basketball practice, and my son's there, and all of a sudden Michael turns around, and I'm caught up in everything, and I've got to turn around and say, oh, this is my husband. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? How is your day today? I got to take a step back,
yes.
And I've got to take care of my man, because if I don't, somebody else will, and vice versa. It's a 50-50 partnership. And for those prima donnas who think that they're just going to enter a relationship and sit there because they're pretty, honey, you will be on the divorce line, or you will be back on the single line faster than I can spell bow backwards. I guarantee it.
Because at one point it will just become flat. And I think that, what, like you said, it's a give and take, 50-50%. You have to be there for your person. A lot of times, as there were one once we're married in so many ways. And if we're not willing to become one, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue, because ultimately it's a partnership. And if you're not willing, and if you're not good at having partnerships, relationships are not the thing for you. If you're not willing to share, if you're not willing to give and have a give and take, it's never going to work. So what is another component in the book? I love the so far ones about getting out there, bettering yourself, feeling good about yourself before going and jumping into the dating pool, because you don't want to have so much baggage that literally once that person finds out about the baggage, they're gone.
You're absolutely right. But another very important component about the book is learning how to be true to who you are. If you are not true to who you are, eventually that person's going to discover who you really are, and it's going to end up going the wrong way. You've got to be true to who you are. You've got to stick with the things that you're passionate about. You can't be phony your whole life. You can't be in a phony relationship and play as if you're playing the part. Because sooner or later, karma will get the best of you. So in this book, it has tools on how to be true to who you are, how to deal with rejection, and when you are rejected, how to get back right up and get right back out there. It also teaches you really, really important lessons and tools on how to not only be in a relationship, but how to keep that relationship going. Because I feel like a lot of people don't have this information. You don't have a Siggy in your life. Maybe your mother didn't tell you. Maybe your next-door neighbor, your best friends are not that knowledgeable in this relationship. So imagine walking around and you want some guidance, and there's really no guidance out there. This is a book coming from a person who has sealed the deal over and over again. I'm sharing my secrets with everybody else, because why should I be the only one living a fabulous life?
And do you think that, what do you think is the worst thing that a relationship can have that's not going to work? What do you think that when you have a couple together, what do you think is the worst thing that will end the relationship most of the time? What do you think?
Cheating to me. I don't agree with it.
Cheating. Okay.
If a woman is spreading her legs, and a woman is allowing another man to be intimate with her, and a man is, and vice versa, there is a disconnect in that relationship. If you are dating somebody and you're with somebody, that you should be the first word and the last word in the dictionary for either or. There is nothing half-assed about anything that I've ever done in my life. And when you are in love, that is the most important job that you're ever going to have. There's nothing more important than to love and to be loved. And if you are cheating, then that trust is broken, that foundation is cracked, and I'm sorry, that is not considered love. That is not the definition of love for me.
What about, let's talk about other areas to think about in relationships that I'm sure you touch upon in your book. What about finances? How tough is
finances,
it?
Listen. My ex-husband was a multimillionaire. I have Louis Vuitton. Yeah. It didn't make me happy. Okay? Money is all nice. Money is great. Everybody would like money. I know it helps out a lot in life. You can't base love on money. I know plenty of people who are married to multi-trillionaires who are suicidal. Okay? Some of them happen to be my closest friends. And I know plenty of people who don't have anything and are the happiest people in the world. You can't base love on money. And whoever tells you that you can or you should, this is why I tell it also in the book. Stop listening to your mother and your best friend. No one knows who you're going to have chemistry with. When I first met my husband, he was just starting out. I stuck with him till the very end. He was going through a bitter divorce. We stuck it together, and 7 years later, we're on top of the world. When you're with somebody, you should be with somebody because you want to be with that person, not because that your mother or somebody else is trying to sell you the bill of rights on that person. Money cannot buy you health, and it cannot buy you happiness.
So true. And then the other parts is a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of defects with your significant other, and you're going to have to learn to love those and learn that specifically there that we all need to make changes, but at times there's certain things that we just have to ignore or just live with, because there's no perfect person. And that's
absolutely.
Okay, Siggy, where can we purchase your book and learn more about you? What a great conversation. I'm looking forward to keeping up with you so that I hear when the new reality show comes out, because you'll have to come on the show to talk about it for sure.
I absolutely will. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. That's Siggy Flicker, and that is my real name. I would not make up a name like that.
I didn't think that was your real name. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Everybody asked me, like, you think I was called Ziggy Squiggy, Miss Piggy, Cigarette, Siggy the Sea Monster? I was picked on. I was bullied over that name. But it's Siggy with an S, Siggy Flicker. And you can follow me. And I have a website, SiggyFlicker.com. And the Weinstein Company will make the announcement as soon as everything is finalized. And after the show comes out, they'll release the book.
Well, fantastic. So all that's coming at the same time, and you're shopping it around the networks, right? So you don't know what network it's going to be on.
No, it's going to be on a network. I just can't be the one to say it. And it's going to be very, very exciting.
And if you knew it, you couldn't tell me now, or you'd have to kill me. Okay, so it's good.
You don't want to mess with Harvey Weinstein. Trust me. I'm not allowed to say which network, but it's a dream come true for me.
Well, fantastic, Siggy, and we'll stay in touch and have you on to talk about the production and all the different things. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
You got it. Thank you so much, Neil. Have a great day.
Take care, Siggy. See ya.
Okay, bye, honey.
All right, you're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I guess it's really, really interesting, my guest. And I didn't plan this out or anything. I just went to the Darren Hardy's event this weekend. It was unbelievable, the High Performance Summit. And I was just absolutely blown away by Darren. And then I booked somebody looking at, specifically enough, involved in a really great documentary movie. I was blown away by the trailer, said I got to have him on the show. So I now have 30 minutes with him, where I don't know if I would ever have that opportunity if it wasn't for radio. So I want to welcome the program Evan Money, best-selling author, global entrepreneur, and star and producer of Words of Art. Evan, thanks for calling.
Neil, great to be here, sir.
Absolutely. And I want to know your story. Now you're on the hot seat, Evan. Basically, can you tell me in the nutshell, growing up, did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Did you always want to be an author? Did you want to have a brand, or did it just come after time? Tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Wow, Neil, it's a long journey, and what's funny is to this day, my bride and I, when we go to parties or whatever, this or that, my wife still looks at me and says, honey, I still don't know what to tell people when they ask me what you do.
That's what my wife says, Evan, all the time.
She's like, well, you're making movies, you have this business, you have this, you have that, you have all this stuff going on, and so back in the beginning, it took me, Neil, probably about 12 to 15 years to recover from the public school system. So I was not one of those that thrived in that environment. I was just challenged, and I thought, again, there was something wrong with me. Why is it that I'm not happy sitting behind a desk or doing the same thing everyone else is doing? And so it was really a journey for me. And so I see these people that, you know, you read all the stories and all these successful people, they go, oh, yes, I knew what I wanted to do when I was a kid, or, you know, I stepped into the college campus and 2 weeks later I have a $1 billion company and all these stuff that, yeah, that's great for them. But for people like me, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I recently spoke at a college, and they were doing an entrepreneur deal, and, you know, I stood up and bared my soul and said, look, when I was your age, as scary as that sounds, Neil, I was like, I had no clue what I was doing. Nothing. No idea whatsoever.
Me either. Absolutely.
Yeah, I went to Surf Bum University, which was for 4 years. My whole life was just about, where am I going to surf next? And so during that time, I discovered, okay, this is what, you know, things that I didn't want to do or I didn't want to end up like. But as you discover going around the best beaches in the world, you notice that, gosh, there's some really nice houses on these beaches. And, wow, these guys have a pretty neat lifestyle. And so I realized there were some things that I wanted, and I said, okay, there's got to be a way to get those and still have time to surf all the time. And so it was such a long process for me, and it's still going. There's businesses that I'm looking at starting this week that have some unique opportunities, and it's again, it's a total process. So I'd love to say it was, oh, yes, I woke up, and I want to be this. So so all the ADD visionaries out there that are listening, I give you hope.
Well, you're definitely giving us hope, and I'll say for me as well, and it's in the story when you said, what does your husband do? Jennifer can't answer that question for me either. So I think we're definitely two peats in the pod. I'm still a green entrepreneur, 2 years in the biz. I know you've been around a while and have been successful. What would you say specifically when you knew you started to take off, this is something you'd be really good at? You talked about kind of living your passion by enjoying life and then saying, well, I'm not really going to enjoy life unless I can be successful. So once that light bulb went on, what did you do next?
Wow. Well, and it's funny because going back to your first question, the light bulb never really went on for me. It was sort of like a dimmer switch where it was just this slow light that got a little brighter, a little brighter, a little brighter, a little brighter. I read a great book. I'm searching my massive library here as we're talking, trying to give the author full credit. I just know he's known as G, and he's an Indian, came over, you know, had the turban on the head and the whole deal, and, you know, went to high school like that and had a huge culture shock, and he ended up starting these two mega billion-dollar companies. And he said he woke up one day and realized that he was a multimillionaire. And so the next day he went out and bought a Lamborghini online and had it delivered. And the guy delivered it. He realized that he didn't know how to drive a stick shift. So he paid the truck driver who delivered his car to teach him how to drive a stick.
Oh,
and so I relate with that because I didn't realize that I had become successful. And it was kind of funny. I see all these people striving. Oh, when I get to this point, and, you know, they keep thinking that there's going to be an arrival stage, Neil,
yes,
if that makes sense. Well, when I get here, I'll be successful. When
right.
I win this, I'll be great.
Right,
when
exactly.
I have this, I'll do this. So I personally own a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl ring. I have a friend who's a coach for the team. I have affiliation with the team. I'm technically a part owner of the team. And there's a big G, you know, diamond-encrusted, massive thing on the ring. And I tell everyone, the G stands for God's greatness in them. And all you're already preloaded with greatness. You just have to let it out. And so the light bulb for me took forever because I kept thinking greatness was out there or success was out there, and I didn't realize it was an inside game. And when I finally woke up and realized, oh, my gosh, I have the three pillars of real success. I have single-digit body fat. I'm extremely healthy. I have a beautiful bride, and we get remarried in a different state or country every year. We've now been married over 17 years. I have an awesome, healthy family, and I have this financial successful business. You know, I've got health, relationships, and finances. I have everything that everybody wants. And it's like, what am I looking for? I already have it. And so at that point is when the dimmer switch finally illuminated me enough to go, wow, I don't have to start chasing things anymore. I can just really enjoy what I have and focus on things like the Richard Branson approach. You know, for him, he looks at a new business and says, is this going to be fun? And if it's not fun, he doesn't do it. And so he's got a different definition of fun. But for me, I started realizing, wait a minute, I don't have to get this certain number of decimal points on the screen to be successful or
right.
to be happy or to be whatever. It's like I'm already living my dream, so how do I expand on that and appreciate more of what I have rather than chase, search, and, you know, try to find something that doesn't exist?
So you had your dreams come true, basically, and kind of getting there, Evan, you had no idea how you got there. But you mentioned the word God in ways. So when did you find your faith? Because I think your faith led to the success. Is that, am I on the right track on that, Evan?
Well, again, to me, I specialize in taking the long way around the block. So I admire all these people that, you know, find that figure it out quickly and easily, and that's just not what it was for me. So it was the same in my faith. I struggled. I had a very integrity-driven mom. I was raised by a single mother, and there's a lot of us that already know about that. I did have a dad, but he didn't really know how to be a dad. There was mom during the week, dad on the weekends. So it took me a while to get over the dad thing, which I put in my first book called Take Action Now. It's interesting. I'll share this briefly with you, Neil, that I tripled my income the same year that I finally forgave my dad. So I do a whole talk on forgiveness, and I say, do it for the money. I mean, just forgive for the money. It's so worth it. And so that was really part of the spiritual growth for me because, you know, my mom was very integrity-driven but was not very successful financially. And so I learned growing up in the 80s, you know, as a teenager in the 80s, that integrity doesn't work too well. You know, I see all these books now that are about integrity and this. It's like nobody wanted to hear that in the 80s. So my mom, therefore, was not doing very well financially. I was helping with the family, you know, doing odd jobs and doing all this. And I was like, well, if that's where integrity gets you, I don't want any part of it. And so I mastered the gray areas. So I didn't necessarily go in the black areas, but I was really good in the gray. And I could, you know, you can always justify anything. So I lived in those worlds for a while, and I finally got introduced in my mid-20s to a group of successful businessmen that were very outspoken about their faith, but more in a Zig Ziglar type, where they didn't... they.